This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Now, this week, Rhode Island Public Radio has been looking at the predicted aging of Rhode Island's population in a series called The Silver Boom, Aging in Rhode Island. It's also our topic this time around, including jobs to support the aging population. We're joined by Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Dave.
We're also joined by Dr. Al Carroz, president of Coastal Medical of Rhode Island. Thank you.
Thanks for having me here.
Dr. Carroz has had medical training at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, also at Brown University. He's practiced internal medicine for some 20 years before changing to full-time administrative duties at Coastal. Dr. Carroz is also an advisor to various health policy groups. Let's start out by asking for a general description of Coastal Medical's network. What is that, very, very briefly?
So Coastal Medical is a predominantly primary care organization. We have 19 offices around Rhode Island, just over 100 providers, and we serve about 100,000 patients, about 10% of the Rhode Island population.
What does the expected aging population of Rhode Island mean in general to you in your experience as an administrator, as a practicing physician? What does it mean to you in terms of the ability to increase jobs to take care of the senior population?
Well, you know, obviously the demographic changes that are coming are going to influence the healthcare delivery system. But I think it's also interesting to look at and think about even now the changes that are occurring in terms of the way that we deliver healthcare. Particularly in primary care, we've been very actively involved with a new model of care called the patient-centered medical home, and that is really a team-based model. And so, potentially at least, this is a mechanism whereby we'll be able to serve a larger population of patients, but I think also it is going to expand the need for more of the members of that team. So the team obviously still includes the primary care physician. It's going to include nurse practitioners or physician assistants, but also nurse care managers, also clinical pharmacists, also potentially co-located behavioral health providers, and really everybody in the medical office, their role is transitioning. So even the role of the medical assistant has changed now, so that really a new skill set is needed. So I think there's going to be sort of a larger workforce in that domain, as well as a need for evolving skill sets.
So you've had to train your own staff, retrain them because of this change?
Yeah, so we've been sort of doing that on the fly to some extent, but a good example of something that's a little bit more structured is a training program that we've just initiated in collaboration with CCRI and the URI College of Pharmacy, and that program is designed to train and certify our medical assistants in what we call medication reconciliation. So that's kind of a specialized skill set. When a patient is returning from a hospital visit and their meds have been changed, that list needs to be compared to the old list, and a medical assistant with a little bit of training can start that process and also enter that information into the electronic medical record. So that's just one example of how team members are taking on new roles in the office.
So there's also a need for perhaps more training of these additional jobs, specialized training in colleges, in other institutions, right?
I think that's correct. I think, you know, there are certification programs that go on right now for nurse care managers, but I think that's a role that nurses are increasingly going to be filling. I think the medical assistant of today needs slightly different training than even just 5 years ago. I think that's going to continue to change. I think for people who are in the front office in a medical office, they're going to need to know how to be able to interact with health information technology easily. And so that, I'm sure that aspect of the training is already in there, but I think that's going to need to be enhanced. There are other domains where there are going to be more job opportunities, I think particularly out in the community, and in particular the delivery of care to patients in the home, particularly as they get older.
The team approach relies on really good records. So the electronic health records, which have been talked about as coming, they're here if you're going to have a team approach, right? There's no other way around it.
That's exactly right. We adopted the electronic medical record, our electronic medical record as eClinical Works, and we adopted that in 2006. And it really enables this team-based approach to care. It's also great for continuity of care and coordination of care. Well, as an example, when I was seeing patients, if I would get a call on a Friday night, I could open the electronic medical record at home. And so now I've got a headset on, so I can be on the phone with the emergency room physician. I can be looking in that patient's electronic medical record. It might not even be a patient I know. I can go through what's relevant. I can, with a couple of keystrokes, I can send documents to the emergency room. And so this electronic medical record, it enables team-based care, but it also, it's going to be a tool for us to sort of reconnect what is sometimes now a fragmented healthcare delivery system.
Will there be enough attraction among future doctors and nurses, other healthcare professionals, to be interested in senior medicine, I'll call it? How do you initiate that attraction? If there is that predicted boom in the aging population, do you think medical professionals will be attracted to it?
You know, I think they would be. Certainly my personal experience taking care of elderly patients is very rewarding. If physicians or other healthcare providers have the opportunity to see patients in the home, that is a particularly gratifying experience, and it gives you insights into the patient, how they take their medications, what their lifestyle is like, the environment they live in, the family. So all those things are really valuable, and they're attractive to the right kind of provider. But I think, too, when we look at sort of how is the healthcare delivery system going to be drawn to optimize the care of older patients and how are we going to be able to bring the resources, I think what's happening right now in the transition of healthcare delivery is going to dovetail pretty well with the expanding aging population, because we really are taking this patient-centered approach. So we're trying to improve access to care and improve communication. And I think older patients with complex medical problems and their families really have a need for that kind of focus. So as we transform the delivery system in that direction, it's really helpful if you're dealing with older patients. I think also as we move a little bit more away from inpatient services and facility-based services, this will, again, serve older patients, more frail patients, very well.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're speaking with Dr. Alan Carroz, president of Coastal Medical of Rhode Island.
Now, what you were just talking about actually dovetails into a recent agreement that Coastal signed with a couple of home-based service providers, right?
That's right. We have a new agreement with VNHC, Visiting Nurse Home Care, and Home and Hospice Care of Rhode Island. That's really a great agreement, because what it's really done is it's focused and streamlined our efforts to improve the way we deliver care in the home, and also with a particular emphasis on palliative care in the home and hospice care in the home. If we look at the time from October until now, versus that same period of time a year ago, we've increased by 15 or 20-fold the number of referrals that our offices have made to VNHC. And, you know, historically, patients would more often be referred for visiting nurse services or home hospice services at the time of discharge from a nursing home or a hospital. But again, we're trying to be a little bit more proactive now and recognize these needs and recognize where patients can be better served by having this type of opportunity to have care at home. And so VNHC and Home and Hospice Care of Rhode Island did a great job. They did an in-service in every one of our offices. They've come around a second time. And we've established a kind of communication that really didn't exist before. The nurse care manager in the patient-centered medical home is in frequent communication with the visiting nurses, sometimes on a daily basis. So that's been terrific. We have another set of eyes and ears in the home because that visiting nurse is out there interacting with that patient and family in the home setting. We're just about to have the ability to look into the visiting nurse electronic medical record, which is going to be terrific. I mean, it's nice to be able to have phone calls, and that's important. But soon we're going to be able to have a web portal that's going to let us look right in and see those daily reports and have that much more access to real-time information.
And so someone has to operate those systems, and therefore the potential for additional jobs to do that. As we have the aging population, what do you see about potential growth in employment in secondary businesses? Not the doctors, not the nurses, but perhaps the labs, even running a shuttle bus. Where do you see that going?
Again, transportation problems can be a real barrier, and sometimes a lack of an ability to be transported to a physician's office will end up resulting in a call for an ambulance and transportation to a hospital. And so that, again, as we've started to look more towards creating cost efficiency in healthcare delivery, I think we're looking at those things. So I think actually transportation techs, there'll be more of an opportunity. peer navigators who are less highly trained but nonetheless very effective patient advocates, sort of helping people to navigate the healthcare system. I think that's a position where there's opportunity for growth and new jobs. Various types of community health workers. The numbers of members of the team and the different positions on the team is likely to expand, and that's going to be more opportunity for jobs.
And we'll have to leave it right here. We could probably talk much more about it, but perhaps we'll talk again at some point. And our thanks to you, Dr. Alan Carroz, president of Coastal Medical.
Thanks very much. It was a pleasure to be here today.
Also thanks, as always, to Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio.